Parshas Kisavoy, we talk about Bikurim to begin with. And every year that we did the Ishbitza, you know, we do the Ishbitza so fast because it's like really short sound bites. And the thing with the Meir Shiloch, it's so easy to believe that you understood what he's saying. Because there's this surface meaning. But then, when you learn the Tiferes Yosef of his grandson, you realize, what did I know? So I thought, again, this week we would come to the Tiferes Yosef, who talks about the Zaydis Torah and Bikurim, our first fruits. So, first he brings the Posik, V'hoye kisovei el ha'oretz asher Hashem nekecha noisen nechonachlo, and come to the land that God is giving you as an inheritance, virishta, and you'll take possession of it, v'yashavta bo, and you'll dwell in it, v'lekachta mereshis kol pri adam, and then you have to take the first fruits of the earth, and you bring them to the tabernacle, the laden to the temple, and we offer them as a wave offering to God, and we give them to the Kohen, and so on. Ksiv, so the Tiferes Yosef brings a pasuk from Chronicles 1:29. Ki mimcho hakoy lemiyotcha noch snulach. And this is a theme that appears in Ishbitz. Ki mimcho hakoy, everything is from you. Umiyotcha noch snulach, and we're giving from your hand to you. And it's like, you know, if I give my child, Shlomi used to say, what's the greatest gift I ever got? My daughter, she bit into an apple, and then she brought me the rest of the apple to eat, right? It was so good, I want to give it to my daddy, right? So even though I gave her the apple in the first place, right? Ki mimcho hakoy, we say to God, everything is from you. Umiyotcho, and from your hand, nos nulach, we give it back to you. And this is one of the Torahs of Ishbitz. And it has to do with how you perceive the world, you know, the world, the 20th century was the century in which almost everywhere in the world people took freedom, whether they were given it or whether they took it by force in revolution, whatever it was, and whether it was freedom from the constraints of some tyrannical religion or some tyrannical, you know, head of state or monarch or a system, you know, like communism, whatever, people wanted to be free. The thing is that freedom is also the most deadly thing. And so in the 20th century, there were more and bigger and worse wars and greater tragedies and holocausts than there had ever been before in history because people had freedom. So Shlomi used to say, Imagine I give you a car and I don't give you the keys. You know, it's a grace of Chachma. You know, that's not a gift. If I give you a gift, you know, I should give it you completely, right? The thing is, freedom is not like that. Freedom is deadly. Who can give freedom? Only God can give freedom, right? God can make a being that has autonomy. So God creates us and says, nah, tiva devils, do what you want, right? So imagine, Shlomi used to say, that a gift is so dangerous that as soon as you're given the gift, the only thing you can do with it is give it back. Freedom is like that. When you're really free, if a human being is completely cut off from rules, if a human being can actually do everything that the impulse comes up to do, you know, you can feel free, but that isn't freedom, right? And the result will be really tragic and painful, and probably short. So what do with freedom? We give it straight back to God, right? So God gives us chayrus, And we say, no, no, we don't want that kind of cheres. We want chorus al aluches. We want you to tell us now what to do. Because coming out of the house of slavery, of bondage, of Egypt, mibeis savodim, you know, we don't want the license to just follow every impulse, because we know down that road isn't happiness, it isn't satisfaction, it's not contentment. We need, Ribbono Shel Olam, yeah, as much as you set us free, we don't want to be free. We give you back the keys. Please, you drive us. Sit next to us when we're driving. This idea is a theme that runs through Ishbitz, that whatever God gives us, the best thing that we could do is to give it straight back. And here, he ties it in with this pasuk, everything is from you, and from your hand we're giving it straight back to you, whatever you give to us. So he explains that this is what the Ishbitzer meant when he was talking about Bikurim, because there's something about Bikurim that makes us aware of the divine desire. I mean, you go out into your field, you're a farmer, right? And you see a fig blossoming on the tree. Then you look into your next door neighbor, into the Canaanite field, and he's got a fig blossoming on his tree, right? You are going to make a brocha, boire priyo eitz, and a sheheche yonu, and you're going to eat it in the sukkah. And he, what's he going to do with his? He's going to gobble it, right? So, already, when you look at the fig as it's blossoming, kivikuro, as it starts to bud, right? He said to himself, what is the energy that made this fig grow in my tree and his fig grow in his tree? And I'm going to be using this fig as a way of celebrating my awareness of God, and he's going to do the opposite. So what's the energy that's coming, that's flowing into this fig that's different from that fig? What is it? And you know, when you go down into your field and you look at the stuff growing out of the ground, or whether you look at the tree and you say to yourself, you know, I trimmed the whole tree identical. You know, why is that particular twig growing first? Right? You look in the field and you say, you know, I planted thousands of seeds here in this field. I don't remember planting this particular seed any differently. So how come it's sprouting first? Where's the energy coming from? Maybe the one that I planted next to it was deeper, was better fertilized, was in the sunshine, but it, you know, how come I can't predict which ear of corn or blade of grass is going to grow first? And what does it mean? I mean, spiritually, What do things mean? So the Ishbitzer says, whenever you look at something that is connected to you, like the farmer who looks at the blossom and can see that it's connected to him, whenever you're looking at it, you're looking at the divine desire flowing to you. You know, I've been thinking this week, and you know, I'll be writing about it, you know, what this thing that we call the Shekhinah, what is it? What is the Shekhinah? You know, the question is, you know, in the Kabbalah, you know, we say L'shem Yichud Kitshibrichu Shchinte, in order to unify God in the universe. and his Shekhinah. What does it mean? If God is one, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, why does God need unifying with anything? You know, what is the unification that needs to happen? Doesn't seem like... It seems paradoxical, right? Either God is one, and this kind of unity that is, beyond everything. What are we unifying? You know, what's the yichud that we? What are the yichudim that are demanded of us? And why it just seems like contradictory, right? How can everything be, and God be one, and then we say, now we're gonna God with His Shekhinah, you know? What do you mean His Shekhinah? You know, if we go back to what we were learning in the Sefer Yetzirah, that there's something called the Bris Yichud. There's something that flows from God, from, so to speak, from ancient times, from the beginning, or even, like you could say, from before the beginning. Something that's not connected with the Ten Sefirot, or, you know, there is something. If you take away everything that exists, there's still something there, and that is the Rotzoin HaPoshut, God's desire for you and for me. It's hard to, hard to put it into words. What does it mean, God's desire for you and for me? Everything that you are, not just the good things that you are, everything that you are is a manifestation. Even if I think of myself as a tiniest blip in the universe in terms of time and, you know, who am I? You know, my 70 years, you know, they don't register in this great panoply of, you know, billions of years and billions of people on the planet. Who am I? Of what possible significance is my life? If I really look at it, though, my life and my 70 years are as real and important and meaningful as any other blip in this vastness of time, because the vastness, the field, the everything that we call the Shekhinah, you know, it's me, you know, it's God's desire for me to exist. I didn't just come about because, you know, God started a plan some billions of years ago which evolved into me. No, I, every moment, I am a being confirmed, my existence is being confirmed by God all the time. Everything that I am is an expression of that desire that God has for me to exist. Nothing came about by chance. And I don't exist by chance, and I'm expressing every moment of my existence, I'm expressing that desire of God to be. The same as you do. That desire is what flows, regardless of the sefirot and regardless of anything, that desire flows from God. That is God saying, I want. Ich brauche, ich darf, ich will. That which we called in the throughout the Sefer Yetzirah, the Rotzon HaPoshut, the simple desire. The divine will. It's you and me. So now, when I look at this fig that's growing, and I say to myself, you know, that fig there, my fig on my tree, and I look at his fig on that pagan, his fig, you know, each of them represent the Shekhinah, and the one which is coming to me, that I'm going to be eating, represents God's desire for me. And Nebuch, God's desire for him, for that pagan there, it's not going to be realized. going to happen, but it's not going to be realized. There isn't going to be any awareness. So what is L'shem Yichud? What happens when I make the Yichud? When I make the Yichud, I become aware of who I am. The Yichud, the unification, is when I take myself and I realize how I myself am manifesting the Shekhinah, how I manifest the divine desire, how I represent God's wanting, God's will. When I really become aware of myself as part of the great desire, at that moment I'm giving it back. That moment of awareness is the giving back. I become aware of myself not in a selfish way. I become aware of myself in the self-full way. So it's like when Yitzchak was able to look inside himself, he could see the Shekhinah. This was really the first. And this is the midah that Yitzchak gave us, that we are able to see the divine in ourselves, and not in a roundabout way say, well, I couldn't have come into existence without, you know, that's Avraham's way of looking. Now Yitzchak is able to look inside himself and say, you know what? I can feel inside myself the divine desire. What is the divine desire? It's God wanting me. I can feel it. How do I feel it? We've talked before, you know, that we feel it in our desire. When I want something, and I stop and I strip away my desires, and I start to feel that want, if I can feel it right, really at its source, you know, I'm speaking for myself, you know, that really profound and powerful desire I experience as a whole inside myself, as an emptiness that wants to be filled. If I can just feel, if I can tap into and really be there, you know, and not squirm and not to try and change the mood with something else, then I become the Shekhinah, right? Because that is what the Shekhinah is. That feeling, that experience of desire, is what actually the Shekhinah is. So inside this peri, inside this fruit that's coming into being, a person is looking at the divine desire coming towards him, even before it reaches him. At that moment, the Gemara says, you go down to the field, you see, so to speak, the divine desire coming towards you. You take the gumi and you wrap it around this fruit. Because that gift of seeing the divine coming towards you, that gift of seeing the divine desiring you, you know, it's like when you look at that fruit and you say to yourself, this is going to be my shehechiyuni for Rosh Hashanah, this is going to be, you know, this is the expression of God wanting me. What do you want to do with that feeling? What do you want to do with that hakora, with that recognition? You want to take that moment and you want to preserve it forever. And that's the meaning of Bikurim. How do you preserve something that God gives you? The only way to preserve it is to give it back to God. The only way to give it meaning is not to hold on to it. Everything you hold on to, everything you hold on to is gunished. Yeah. You have to give it back. There's a story about one of the rabbis who had a pair of tefillin from the Baal Shem Tov, you know. And there was this yid in the Beis HaMedrash who didn't have a pair of tefillin, and he came over to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, "Here, try these on," right? So the yid put on these tefillin that the Rebbe had lent him, and, you know, what a hisaras. It's like his blood started to boil in his veins, you know. He never in his life had such a davening. It's like his soul was on fire, right? When he finished davening, he said to the Rebbe, "You know, I never wore a pair of tefillin that did for me anything remotely like what just happened. Please, would you sell me this tefillin?" The Rebbe said, "No." He said, "Please, Rebbe." The Rebbe said, "It won't work for you. It's not worth it." He said, "No, Rebbe, this tefillin, this was like could change my whole life." And he begged and he pleaded, he cajoled, he threatened. The Rebbe said, "Nada, right, buy them." As soon as the guy bought them and he put them on, yeah, there was just another pair of tefillin. He came back with kindness to the complaints to the Rebbe. He said, "Rebbe, you sold me this." He said, "I told you." It's like, I say, "So long as you were wearing my tefillin, you were getting my hisaras and the hisaras of my Rebbe. But as soon as you tried to own it, it's your tefillin now. It's only now got what you put in it." You know? So, the whole mitzvah of Bikurim, the Ishbitzah says, V'hoi kisovoi, brings the posik, B'zeh sheho odam machzeh l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that a person can give back to God, reishis pri adama, the first, the beginning. We don't mean the beginning, the first fruit. That's just a metaphor. What a person is giving back to God is the real beginning, the reishis. And what's the reishis? The reishis is the desire that God has for me. When that fruit starts to grow in my orchard, it's already that burgeoning of God's desire for me. God is saying, "Heschler, look, I'm coming. I'm growing. You're gonna take me, and you're gonna take this desire that I have, that you say my name, and you're gonna make a bracha, and then you're gonna make noch a bracha, and you're gonna do a mitzvah with it, with me." What's a mitzvah? What does it mean, a mitzvah? So the Tiferes Yosef says, the Zohar calls all the mitzvahs itin eitzes. What do you mean? Loving God is an eitzah. It's a mnemonic on what? On how to love God? Like, you know, when people say, "Well, all the Tariq mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, they're just eitzahs." Well, what does the Zohar mean? You know, eitzahs for what? How to do the mitzvah? No. How could the mitzvah be an eitzah on how to do the mitzvah? So it's not. The Ishvitzah says that's not what it means in the Zohar. It means when we say that the 613 mitzvahs are eitzes, they are eitzes, they are ways of getting in touch with the divine desire that God has for you. Loving God is a mitzvah, fine, it's a mitzvah. But the purpose of the mitzvah is so that you get in touch with the divine desire that's inside you. Fearing God, Yiras Shemaim, is a groisa mitzvah. But it's an eitzah for what? To get in touch with the divine desire that God has for you. Because you wouldn't exist if there wasn't divine desire for you. And until you're in touch with that divine desire that manifests you every moment of the day, what are you? Right? Then the desire is just flowing. How about reflecting it, right? Because if I love you and you don't even know, Grosse Sache, right? If I love you the way God loves you and you don't know about it, it's what a waste, right? And if God loves you and you do know about it, then you're in relationship. And then you fulfill God's desire, which is to love you. I don't want to love somebody that they don't never know about it. I don't want to shower somebody with gifts that they never know about. Right? So as soon as I become aware, now, if I am aware of the gift even before it comes to me, if I am so aware of the love that God has for me that I can see it coming towards me in the idea of things before they come into existence, then I'm beginning to get really in touch. So the 613 mitzvahs are etzes of how to get in touch with that desire that God has for me, which we have said that's the meaning of the word Shekhinah. And when I do become aware and I act on my awareness, then I'm making a yichud of the Shekhinah, which is that desire and God. So the Ishbitzer says in the Mea Shiloyach, the fact that a person with this, that he returns or gives back to God that firstness, so the person, he's showing that in himself that he can worship God with all his strength. And you know, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol levavcha is your heart, with your love, right? Yetzer tov and yetzer ra, and you know, all that stuff that's going on, your whole awareness and character and so on, right? B'chol levavcha. Then b'chol nafshecha, even if God takes your life, right, with your life, right? What's b'chol ma'oidecha? What's b'chol ma'oidecha? So the Ishbitzer says, the b'chol ma'oidecha is with all that awareness of God's love for you. With all that awareness of the fact that you are the Shekhinah. If you can take all that awareness of how important you are to God, and how full of God you are, and how you are a representation of God singing in the universe, and you can take that even as it's coming towards you, say, I'm going to give it back. Even, I mean, imagine you're a poor person, right? And you're sitting on the street begging, and somebody walks towards you with a cup of coffee, and even before he gives it you in your hand, and you see the big smile on his face, he's giving me a cup of coffee, you say to yourself, I'm going to give it back. You know, even before it comes to my hand, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to give it you back. The Ishbitzer says, now we know what you're capable of doing. I know. Because what will happen if you give me back? Then I can give it you again, right? If I see you need and I give you something, and you already before I've given it you, you're giving me back and I'm giving it to you again. It's a whole other thing than if you come towards me, you see I'm needy and you give me something and I take it, you know. You had, I didn't have, you saw I was needy, you gave it me, now I'm not needy, and it's like a transaction, right? It's finished, it was at the beginning, a middle, end, it's done, right? But if before you even give it me, I've already given it you back, I'm not needy, I don't need it, you need it. Wait a minute, I'm giving it you because you're hungry. No, you're giving it me because you love me, and I'm giving it to you because I know you want to give it to me, and so forth. We're in a whole other relationship here. That's the meaning of the yichud of Kidshei Brichu Shchinteh, and that's the meaning of Bikurim as it appears here in this week's Sedra.